third hour on this Wednesday afternoon. Our show is presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD products curated for life. Tim Hasselbeck coming up at the bottom of the hour. So we were talking about this offseason for Ryan Tannehill, and it's all going to be negative. I don't think there's any way around it. It's impossible to be for it to be any different. And there's a whole lot of people that have pulled the ripcord on Ryan Tannehill. Said, I need to see it. I'm not going to be a believer again until I see it. This is now two times he's left me at the altar, disappointed. And so that's the narrative Ryan Tannehill is going to have to deal with. And, oh, by the way, he's getting a huge bump in pay. He's going to be making close to $40 million next season, which also is not going to sit well with the fans. But, you know, we've seen this before in this market, and what you want, if they are indeed coming back with Ryan Tannehill and they're running it back with him, and obviously things will change around him, you want to see the response, because there were also two Predators players that had big contracts that the fans had identified were underachieving, that the team identified that were underachieving, and they took the brunt of the entire offseason in Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene, right? There's no doubt Absolutely. About it. And so they had to hear that the entire offseason, like Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene have got to be better. If this team is going to have any success, they've got to be better. Now, they also heard it from the organization, David Poile, at the end of the year, and John Hines. Of course, candid conversations with the head coach. They saw their minutes diminish. They were told this is how you need to play. If you want to, you know, if you're going to have to earn your minutes, earn your time, earn your spot on this roster, depending on what line you play on. And depending on what line you play on, depends on how many minutes you play. And so they had to hear all of that. So they heard it from the organization and the head coach, and they heard it from the fans. They heard it from Sports Talk Radio. They heard it from, you know, reading things on The Athletic. And so they had to – and so how did they respond? Well, we know. Ryan Johansson's had a really, really good season. He's been centering that second line. And Matt Duchene is having an unbelievable season. He has 20 goals, 20. They just played game 44. The last two seasons, albeit they weren't 82-game seasons, shortened seasons. Do you know how many goals he had the first 2 years with the Predators? That'd be 19 goals. He already has more goals than he had the last two the first two seasons with the Predators. And he's still got the second half of the season to go. So
it's been
that's
a great story.
It's been a great story. And look, this is just my opinion. I think Matt Duchene, you know, he hears all that. So if Ryan Johansson does too, I think Ryan Johansson is just a little bit different bird. He's just wired a little bit differently. I mean, he doesn't want, you know, he doesn't want that to be the chatter. I think he cares a little bit less than Matt Duchene. I think it bothered Matt Duchene a lot. I think you can see it when he does interviews. I think you can see it in his play. He's carried a chip, and that's okay. I want that. I want guys to be ticked. That means they care. I want guys to prove everybody wrong. I want guys to say the narrative is going to change starting right now.
Oh, yeah.
I hope that's the case with Ryan Tannehill.
Wasn't that interesting that it was Seattle last night that they were playing? They didn't mention it on the broadcast. I was wondering if they would go down that road.
I know where you're going.
Seattle could have had Johansson, could have had Duchene, et cetera. They passed just like that was the prevailing thought. Everybody was pretty much banking on that. There was absolutely zero speculation that they would take those guys. In fact, this is my question last hour with the Brady thing. We'll probably never know if there was an offer on the table. You can have Matt Duchene and we'll give you X to take Matt Duchene. Remember, that was sort of the prevailing thought for them to actually take on that contract. They could have gotten something else in addition. Seattle, and the Predators would have gotten nothing in return. But isn't it great for the Predators that it's worked out the way it has? Because Matt Duchene, to his credit, and Ryan Johansson, for that matter, who was in the same category, they put their mind to it, they hung in there, and they have bounced back. And so as it relates to Tannehill, there's no doubt this is going to be a really challenging offseason for him. He's going to hear it, whether it's firsthand or secondhand or thirdhand. That's it. And he doesn't have to be told. He knows. Nobody's more disappointed with what happened on Saturday than he is. And that's really what it's all about. I've never questioned Ryan Tannehill's toughness, competitiveness, team attitude. He's a very, if he weren't a likable guy, I think it would maybe influence me a little bit. But I see a guy that is all about team. I see a guy that is tough. He's available. He has been out there. And it's not like he has never played at a high level. Like his stats, if you put all of his stats for 3 years together, stats look pretty darn good. And could you do better? Yeah. I mean, everybody would love to have Josh Allen and those guys, Patrick Mahomes. He's not that guy. But I believe he's good enough and still at an age to where he can maintain the level that he's played over the last 3 years, 2.5 years since he's been the starter. And I think in theory, if the team stays on the path that they've been able to do, if they make good decisions in the offseason, hey, maybe they'll even get a first-round pick that might help. Can you imagine that?
No.
Actually picking right a first-rounder that helps?
Right now, no.
And maybe, who knows? Maybe Caleb Farley actually could play next year, their first-round pick. Maybe actually could help them. You know, they've had some things that haven't worked out, and they've still won a lot of games with Ryan Tannehill as the quarterback. So I'm just not in the camp of, well, I'm making up my mind. You can't win a Super Bowl with him. I'm not there. I know a lot of people jump. They decided they were going to make that the narrative on Saturday night, Sunday morning, and carry it right on into today, and they'll probably carry it on all offseason. You're not going to hear me say that. I think he's the same quarterback that he has been. And I am granting you that he lost the game for him on Saturday. There's no way around that. That was bad. He had a bad game at the worst possible time. And that was a stinger. But I still believe he's the same quarterback he's been. Now, you ask a good question. Like, will that game affect him going into next year? Right? I don't think he's mentally weak that you will see him just all of a sudden become a guy that never plays well again because of that. But we have seen some guys who are never the same after having a performance like that.
Did you think he was tight Saturday night? Did he look loose and free? Or did he look a guy that was look like a guy
who
was tight?
I saw the guy make some good throws during the course of the game. He threw a great touchdown pass to A.J. Brown. He hit A.J. Brown several times down the field.
Also missed A.J. Brown.
Oh, absolutely. Open. He missed. Yeah, he did. But he also had a pass by Kari Blassingame game dropped. So I don't know if I saw a guy that was tight. He certainly made the mistakes at the critical times. But in between, there were some pretty good throws in there.
That is going to
like
be
220
the
yards.
Yeah, right.
He hit some passes down the field.
Yeah, A.J. Brown is a big part of that. A.J. Brown had 142
yards.
Yeah,
you know what? He's going to be on the team next year. They'll have him again next year.
And hopefully they'll be available the whole time. The question is, how does he respond to all this chatter? Because sometimes it's good. Like, I don't think it's a bad thing. Sometimes people have to be, you know, they have to be motivated in a certain way. Some guys, this is what really gets their juices flowing. Look, we've seen documentaries, and it doesn't necessarily have to be the outside noise. Some guys have it internally. Not all do. Most don't. They had to create things, right? They're always looking for an edge or something to keep them edgy. Not everybody's wired like that. Most aren't. But sometimes you need a kick. Sometimes you need something like this to happen. I don't think there's any doubt. I'll continue to say it. I don't have any proof. It's not like I've sat down and talked with Matt Duchene about it. I don't think there's any doubt that he heard everything and everything, like you said. Even to the part of being left off the protected list. Okay, Seattle could have had them. Okay, could have chose them. They were left off the protected list. And what the head coach told them, and then all the chatter in the market, everything that was being written about them. They heard all that stuff. But what did they do with it? They responded. And it's very clear that it's affected their play this year. And that's a good thing. Like I said, I don't have any problem with that. I don't care how a guy, you know, how an athlete gets there, as long as it's there. It doesn't bother me. I don't, you know, a lot of people look at it as like that's a negative. Oh, you have to do something to get them motivated. So what?
I've never felt that way about Tannehill. I've always liked his makeup. I've always felt like he's a great competitor. I don't see a guy that lacks drive in any way. And I also don't see a guy that's going to crack.
I'm not willing to go there. The other part, I'm absolutely with you. I don't see any of that either.
He's won big games where the game's been on his shoulders. He's got to make the play, the comeback in the fourth quarter. He's got a lot of games since he's been a Titan that's gone really, really well. So it's not like he constantly chokes under pressure. But in the playoffs, the record speaks for itself. It hadn't gotten done.
Yeah.
There's no question about it the last 2 years.
Let's go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Scott, what's up?
Yes, sir. You guys are still talking Titans and Tannehill. Just real quick, just some things to think of. I keep hearing a lot of people talking about go out and get a new quarterback. Well, whoever your top five quarterbacks are in the NFL currently, I'd like for someone to tell me who they think is capable of unseating any of those top five currently in the NFL or on the college level right now. There are none. And Tannehill continues to get blasted for giving the game away. Granted, he did not play his best game. But before the final interception was thrown, we still had a chance to win. I say, if the offensive coordinator says, guess what, guys, we're going to run the ball, we're going to get down here, we're going to kick a field goal, we're going to run out of time, and we'll go to overtime. Someone has to take responsibility for calling the play that Tannehill threw the interception on. And then after that, consider this. Jamar Chase is their go-to guy. And if you look back on the film, you've got Kevin Byard 10 yards behind him, and 20 yards in front of him is Janoris. I want to be called Jackrabbit Jenkins. And Jamar Chase just sits down between the two of them and catches the ball uncontested, which allows him to continue the drive that ultimately led to a field goal. So I say pump the brakes and let's go out and get a wide receiver, maybe Jameson Williams in the first round. Maybe we go find us a Tyreek Hill wannabe to fill up a slot position. And we go at it one more time. Thanks for the time, and I'll listen to your response. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks for the call. We'll do that on the other side. We'll respond to some things that were thrown out there. Don't forget Tim Hasselbeck coming up at the bottom of the hour. Willie, you're going to tell everybody about QC Kinetics.
Let's talk QC Kinetics. Remember their mantra, get going in 2022 and get rid of that joint pain that has been bothering you. Remember. Make the resolution right now to get yourself moving the way you want to move in 2022. So you've been hindered with joint pain. I want you to listen. Call QC Kinetics. Non-surgical regenerative treatments for joint pain. Lasting results using natural biologics. No surgery, no pain meds, no steroids, no downtime. That's what you're looking for. So if you've been at wit's end and this joint pain keeps bothering you, and you really are not wild about a surgery, you definitely don't want to take a bunch of drugs, this is exciting stuff. Regenerative, restorative treatments that actually encourage your body to heal itself using highly concentrated natural biologics. So the patients have raved about the results they're getting for their hip pain, knee pain, shoulder, and back pain. So don't let them keep giving you the steroids. Call and get the free second opinion. Explore this option. It might be for you. QC Kinetics. Do it now and imagine life here in 2022 without the joint pain. 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.
Tim Hasselbeck at the bottom of the hour. Okay, let's address receiver in the first round. Look, I think the bottom line is what we were talking about earlier. It's just time for this franchise to draft someone in the first round that actually plays in game one. I mean, the last three years.
It's less important the position as it is just the production.
I mean, just think about it, and somewhere. I get it. Jeffrey Simmons today has been well worth it. He's a beast. It's been a great pick, but even he wasn't ready, right? It took him the second half of his first season to start getting in there and contributing. And then the last 2 years have been a disaster. Well, I guess, a disaster because they haven't touched the field, right? I mean, basically, you've gotten nothing from the first-round pick. How about just a first-round pick? Like, what a concept. A first-round pick that actually suits up and plays in week one. Like, what a concept that would be. Like, I don't know what the position is. I just would be in favor of somebody that can play right away. Now, caller brought up, you know, to find a Tyreek Hill. Well, you know, that's like me sitting here belly aching about not having the franchise quarterback, which I have done for years and years and years, because I know how much that changes everything and how much more difficult it is to win at the high level all and get to the finish line when you don't have that. So everybody's searching for that. Well, you don't think everybody in the league is searching for another Tyreek Hill? It's not that easy. He's just as hard to find another Tyreek Hill than it is finding that franchise quarterback, quarterback.
The other thing, they have a number one receiver. A.J. Brown is a heck of a receiver. In fact, you just mentioned two names that I think we're going to hear some discussion. Is it time to extend Jeffrey Simmons and A.J. Brown? And when they do, how do they do it? You know, how expensive will it be? How do you go about it? I mean, those are key guys that you're going to want to lock up, and that's going to affect your salary cap and some of the other decisions that you make. But they're not hurting at wide receiver. I think what they need at wide receiver is much more gettable in a lot of different ways. It could be through the draft. It could be through just the right guy at the right price. And I think the bigger question is Julio Jones. I looked at the Julio Jones' contract. I thought it was just one more year. They actually have two more years deal.
I think
there's actually
get out, though, right?
Well,
after next year?
Looking at the spot rack, I don't know all the details of the, you know, March 1st and June 1st and new league year, all that stuff. But it appears on the spot rack with Julio Jones that even if the listing of dead money for this year is 13.2, so that ain't happening.
Yeah, it's not
unless you rework the contract. Mm-hmm. He's going to be back next year.
Yep.
The following year, his cap hit is still $14.3 million.
But what's
in 2023?
What's the get out?
Dead cap 8.4.
Okay. Well,
I don't know if that's all. You know, I don't know if you can get out of that restructure. It says restructure 2.8. I don't know what that means. So I need a capologist to tell me. But
we'll get Joe Corey on here soon. Get him to weigh
in. We need Joel.
We can do that.
Yeah. We'll call upon Joel. But that's Julio Jones is a question mark, right? And then after you got NWI, who looks like a nice piece somewhere in some role. He's not going to light the world on fire. Somebody who can get down the field and really take the top off the defense would be, to me, what you would be looking for.
Let's go to Gary on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up?
Hey, you say Gary or Jerry?
It says Gary on the screen.
Well, I may be taking Gary's place. This is Jerry.
Well, Jerry, you're up next. Welcome.
Well, Jerry,
in.
You're on. You're on the radio.
Okay, buddy. Hey, thank you. Look, I appreciate you taking my call, and I enjoy your show. And I'm sitting here listening a whole lot about Tannehill and what he did right and did wrong. And I understand, you know. But, of course, you got Aaron Andrews, that was a girl, Aaron Rodgers that lost in Green Bay, you know, he's a pro, yeah, what happened with him? But I'm thinking the Titans need to reevaluate our drafts and find us a quarterback that can come in and be our franchise quarterback forever. Tannehill, there's nothing wrong with this dude. He made a few bad decisions, and he had that instant pick right off the bat, first throw. Hey, you know, he's human. But I'm thinking that we need to concentrate in our draft on a quarterback that can be our future quarterback forever.
Okay.
And just like Mahomes, you know, and you have the other quarterbacks in the league right now. You have Mahomes. You had Josh right there in Buffalo that did the thing, you know. But look, the older quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers and stuff, he lost. He lost San Francisco. our guy, you know, Tannehill, he's a journeyman. He's been Miami. He's been around, and he's a good guy, but he can only do what his old offensive coordinator calls him to do, and he made some stupid plays, cost us a game. And I think we need to draft and find us a quarterback that's going to be there from now on.
Okay,
I'll hang out and listen to what y'all got to say.
Thanks for the call. It's difficult because they're drafting. I was looking at the latest draft order. I think their current spot is, what, 26th? So
I believe that's right.
That's not great. So they've got the 26th pick in the first round. All these guys that we're talking about were drafted higher than that. I also not sure this is the year, unfortunately, to find that franchise quarterback. It doesn't look like a great crop of quarterbacks. But look, you know how this works. They'll get to Indianapolis next month, and they'll start fall. You know, this is where people start falling in love. It is, you know, it is the month for Valentine's Day, and somebody's going to fall in love with Matt Corral, and somebody's going to fall in love with the Pitts, and somebody's going to fall in love with the quarterback from Liberty. The question is, you know, can those guys be as good as the elite quarterbacks that we're going to name that are currently in the league?
I remember distinctly asking Floyd about that very thing. I was like, why? Because I think the year was when Carson Wentz and Jared Goff ended up moving up to the top. I'm pretty sure that was the year. And, of course, the Titans traded the first pick that turned into Jared Goff, made the big blockbuster deal with the Rams. I said, I haven't heard of either one of these guys. You know, are these guys that good? You know, because I don't think people were buzzing about them until the process really started. And I said, you really think those guys are going to move up? He says, they always do.
Of course.
So there's probably going to be those guys. That doesn't mean that the next quarterback is there. I don't see it picking at 26 where they are as a franchise. I don't see using the first round pick on a quarterback under any circumstances. If you want to roll the dice and hope that you catch lightning in a bottle in a mid-round pick, even a, you know, they don't have a second-round pick. That's Julio Jones, right? That pick is gone.
That pick is
so
gone.
So we're talking third, fourth, fifth. You know, you want to take a shot in there somewhere? You know, if the right guy's there that you like, maybe. But I think that's all you can really expect. The first-round pick's not going to be a quarterback.
Well, but, I mean, look at all these guys. I mean, Daniel Jones. Nobody was talking about Daniel Jones at Duke, right? And then they – because remember, then everybody falls in love with him, and that was the draft here. And it's like, I remember Tim Hasselbeck came over. We were on Broadway, you know, that Thursday, the day of round one. And I remember asking him, like, is this really going to happen? Like, I understand. We've been hearing all this Daniel Jones stuff for 2 months. But are they really going to pull the, you know, pull the plug and actually, you know, pull the trigger? Pull the plug. They should have pulled the plug. Pull the trigger and actually draft this guy top five, top 10. And he was like, yes. And I'm like, but this is how this stuff happens, right? Like, they're most of these guys in there. Were you talking about Wilson at BYU? Were you going, oh man, this guy's going to go top three for sure. Trey Lance, right? We were all going, Trey, have you seen this kid in North Dakota? Whew, boy. Woo. This is how it happens. And somebody, they will fall in love with these guys. The question is, you know, sometimes they turn out to be Josh Allen, and then sometimes they turn out to be Daniel Jones, which doesn't look like the right pick.
Or
Mitch Trubisky, who's the same deal, right? Mitch Trubisky.
Or worse.
Fall in love. Mitch Trubisky's not the answer. Who's the worst? You got a worse example?
Oh gosh. Blaine Gabbert. Go right down the list. Smith. I mean, Ryan Leaf. There's dozens and dozens. There's more of those guys than there are the guys that even are solid.
Yeah, but in fairness, people were aware of Ryan Leaf, weren't they? I mean, they were aware of Achilles Smith. There were certain guys that you were aware of what they were doing in college. But it was like, fall in love with the guys at the lesser-known schools, like the Liberty quarterback, right? Like, nobody was following him this year. I mean, yeah, we knew about him. But this is where they fall in love with these guys, and this is where they shoot up the boards. But if they really identified one of these guys, Pickett is going to go off the. I mean, he's going to probably go top five because that's just what they do with quarterbacks. You can't get up there, right? That's the problem. You can't get up there. So the question is, at 26, who's been out there drafted as the elite quarterback at 26? I think Joe Flacco for the Ravens was, what, second round? Right? It does happen. But typically, if you're not getting them at the very, very top, how many have panned out to be the special quarterback in the league that were drafted, you know, late first round, second round, later, you know? You got Dak Prescott, fourth round for Dallas. It's hard, right? We can name the examples. That means it's really hard to do. Can the Titans do that at 26? I would say probably not. Doesn't seem likely. All right, we'll come back. Tim Hasselbeck on the other side will run all this by him and more. We'll do that next year on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you on this sunny Wednesday afternoon, but cold. Tim Hasselbeck, we are ready. Our NFL guy, our NFL expert. He's brought to you every week by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Sean Payton, the news yesterday. Surprise, no surprise at all. What is he going to do after life after football, and how quickly is he back? How do you think this is all going to play out ultimately?
So I was a little bit surprised. I will say that probably about a week or 10 days ago, I had heard basically that he was going to do this. You know, sometimes you hear things and they might, you know, be relatively true, but maybe the guy never follows through on it. So I had heard it. So, like, my surprise on the announcement wasn't as much as it was, you know, when I heard it 10 days ago. What I think he does, I think he gets into TV, and I think he'd be really good at it. And it doesn't mean he doesn't get back into coaching. I said earlier today on, you know, on I think Sports Center somewhere, Joe Gibbs was out of coaching for 12 years, you know, coaching in the NFL for 12 years. John Gruden was in the booth for a while. You know, there Bill Cowher had been out of the booth for a while, and I think people were very interested in having him come back. And so I think Sean Payton will be out of it for more than a year. But I think people will come calling.
Yeah. The easy dot to connect is because the rumors of, you know, Dallas wanted him in 2019, but he was not. There's no way he was going to leave Breeze high and dry. That's the easy dot to connect, right? Once Coach Meathead gets shown the door that he's the replacement.
Well, here's what I would say. It's like, you know, everybody's ready to, you know, fire Mike McCarthy. That's fine and all. Like, for, you know, I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, we've laughed about it. You're not a fan. And I think there's plenty of other people in the media in particular that, you know, are not fans of Mike McCarthy's. But, you know, Jerry Jones is generally patient with his head coaches. When we saw it with Jason Garrett, you know, I think that he probably already knows who his next head coach is, meaning Kellen Moore. I get the sense that Kellen Moore is kind of in a situation there the way Josh McDaniels is in New England. And, you know, the other aspect of it is this. If you're Sean Payton, like, yeah, I get it. You coached at the Cowboys, you know, for Bill Parcells. But, like, he also coached at the Giants, you know? Like, I don't know why. Like, somebody made a stop somewhere. It's like, oh, yeah, he's definitely going to go back there. I mean, like, this happens all the time. The other aspect of it is this. He has accomplished so much that wherever he goes next, like, he's in charge. Like, he's going to have enough suitors that whatever he decides to do, he's the boss. And so I just am not sure that going to Dallas.
You don't think so? They just let the coach, you know, run everything. That's how it works in Dallas.
Yeah, right? So, like, I don't think that's the environment that he would be looking for.
Yeah, that's a really good point. There seems to be a lot of TB12 chatter. You think it's real? Do you think I feel like this is it. I do. I kind of feel like he's going to walk away. You agree or disagree?
Yeah, I think it's real because he started talking about his family. And I've used this example, and, you know, they're not the same, but there are some similarities. Look, you guys know my brother played into his 40s. And, you know, when he stopped playing, it wasn't because he didn't have opportunities. There were opportunities for him to go places and be a backup. And, you know, the issue ended up being, like, you're not the only one in your family. You know, as your kids get older, they start to have commitments and things that they're doing and dreams that they have. And so there's a lot of sacrifice for your family when you're playing football. And while it's a great profession, there's a lot of, kind of things being put on the back burner. And, like, you're not in control of your schedule. So, like, I just know, like, his kids are getting older. His kids have interests. And his kids, you know, as they get involved in things, he's missing it. And there just comes a point where you look up and you go, well, wait a second. I only have so much more time before they leave and go to college. And then, like, that's it. So I think that pull, no matter who you are, whether, you know, you're a superstar quarterback or not, like, those things are real if you're human.
Yeah. So you tend to lean that this is – that was it?
All right, here's where I lean. His decision is, like, he's not walking away because, like, oh, I can't – you know, I have the passion or I can't compete at a high level. Like, when he walks away – it's going to be because of his family.
Sure.
And like, look, as you know, I know I'm talking to the, you know, the head coach of the Smyrna Braves. Like, look, here's the reality of it. Like, you know, it goes fast in like 2 years, maybe like, well, what's different than when he decided to go down, you know, to Tampa? Well, look, 2 years in like in a kid's life and what they're interested in mm-hmm. is a lot. I'll give you another one. 2 years in terms of like your parents and their health and your time to enjoy, you know, spending time with them and their ability to travel, like that can change a lot. And so they're just, I know, and I've seen it too many times with players where it's like, look, like I don't get to see them on holidays. I don't get to, when my kids are on spring break, like, I don't get to go on it. Like, I don't, like, whatever it, you know, like, whatever it is, like, the sacrifices are real. And, you know, eventually people are like, look, it's been a great run, but I need to kind of start to enjoy some of these aspects of my life.
Yep. I don't know if you heard, Tim. I know you've been on television a lot today. We've been watching on mute. The Titans lost on Saturday to the Bengals. They're not playing in the AFC Championship game. They're not hosting the game. What were your thoughts? Let's get your reaction to what took place here Saturday night.
Well, let me first say thanks for watching on mute. Means a lot. I was touched by that comment.
Was there at least closed captioning?
Nope.
Really?
No closed captioning?
Listen, just say you enjoy looking at me, Dan. Just go ahead and say it, okay? Yeah, I think it was a really disappointing loss. I don't know how else to say it. Like, offensively, it just wasn't good enough. I mean, I feel like, you know, to just kind of be as candid as I can, I think that it was a great defensive performance wasted. I mean, that's how it felt. And that's not the, like, I'm not trying to sit here and, like, take things away from, you know, Cincinnati in terms of what they were able to do. But, you know, like the play Mike Hilton makes on the interception, like, it's a great play by Mike Hilton. But, you know, like to kind of have the bye week to get back your, you know, arguably your best offensive player, maybe not even arguably your best offensive player, and then to just be, you know, so ineffective in terms of scoring points, that's going to be something that's hard to swallow as you kind of think about it throughout the entire offseason.
Were you watching the game in Bristol, or were you here?
No, I was trying to think of where I was. I was here. That was Saturday. So I was here.
Okay.
I was covering stuff from here, and then Sunday I was in D.C. with Van Pelt.
Okay. I know you go on Sunday nights with Van Pelt after the game, so I wasn't sure where you were at the time. So when the Titans scored – and tied it at 6, and then the penalty. The extra point would have been 7-6, but decide, hey, it's at the 1, go for 2. Did you what went through your mind at the time? Not now that we know how it all played out. What were you thinking at the time? Good move, bad move?
Yeah, I didn't have an issue with it at the time. Look, they're like, that's a strength of Tennessee's right? You know, they've got good run blockers. They've got good short yardage and goal line, track record, plan, personnel. So I had no issue with it at the time. And really, like, that wasn't why they lost the game. You know, going for two in that moment was not why they lost the game.
You could say that it could have factored in down the stretch. It could have. Do they go for it on fourth and one if they have a one-point lead, 17-16 at the time?
Here's what I think. Like, there's a good example. I'm glad you brought up the fourth and one. Like, there's a couple things, like, in that sequence right there, okay? You know, and then, look, there's been plenty of criticism on the quarterback, and I get that, and that's look, you know, you throw three interceptions, and, you know, there's going to be criticisms of that. You know, you look at the third and one play. They call a zone read, and, you know, with a big, powerful back who's been out for a long time, so, you know, you haven't been repping the ball handling stuff the way that, you know, you would if he had been healthy. Like, to me, that's not a good call in that spot at all. Like, if you're going to run them, you know, and you know, you can kind of look at it and say, well, should Ryan give it to him? Should Ryan keep it? Like, obviously keeping it was not, you know, the right move. They don't get it. So then they go for it on fourth and one, and they don't get it. Like who's to blame for that? You know, like, that's not the quarterback, right? And so I think they're – and, like, I think you can look at that and say – look, if you can't do that, you have two downs to get 1 yard. Like, do you deserve to win with the personnel that you have? You know, and so I think that, you know, I think when you look at some of that stuff and you look at, you know, the Mike Hilton interception that I referenced, like, look, everyone's like, oh, hey, run the ball. Here's the funny thing. They called a run. It was an RPO. So they basically called it, it's a zone will concept. But as you can see, Mike Hilton is blitzing into the front. They do not have a blocker for Mike Hilton. And so Mike Hilton's going to hit that thing right in the mouth, and it's going to be tackled at the line of scrimmage. And so Ryan's doing the right thing by pulling it and throwing the bubble. The issue ends up being he doesn't find a throwing lane. And by not finding a throwing lane, you know, a bad, you know, play gets created. And, you know, obviously a good play by the defense, but a bad play by the offense. So, to me, those things are both way more important than going for two at the 1 yard line because of a penalty.
I don't know if you've heard, but D-Mace is back in the mix, you know, with Chase being a suit. The D-Mace is back in the mix. You're going to hear him a lot more on our show. He's not on with us today. He was on Monday and Tuesday for the full show. He'll be back on tomorrow for the full show, and the reason I'm telling you that is because we now have more bills to pay, so need you to hang on for a second. We need to pay some of those bills, including D-Mace. We'll come back. More with Tim Hasselbeck on the other side, but Willie, you've got a word about Loan Pronto.
All right, let's start paying those bills. Let's talk Loan Pronto. Loan Pronto, of course, is there for you for all of the needs that you're looking for to get the financial freedom of 2022. You've got all kinds of great stuff happening in our area. Number one, your home value is way up. Number two, the mortgage rates still continue to be very, very low. That's an advantageous position for you to be in. So that means right now is a great time to call Loan Pronto and lower that mortgage payment. You can get it down considerably. Or better yet, if you need some cash right now, take some cash out of your home's equity, and you can reinvest in your home, make it even more valuable. Or if you've just simply got some bills to pay, they can fast-track your home refi, get you a check. And if you call now, Loan Pronto can even pay those closing costs. They've got an easy, smooth process that takes about 2 weeks, and you can walk away with a check in your hands that you can use right now to pay off those credit cards, consolidate other loans, pay other expenses that you might have, or, as I said before, reinvest in your home. Call Loan Pronto now and find out about it. Put that equity in your home to work towards your financial freedom. Do it now. You can even skip your next two house payments. How's that for some short-term budgetary needs? 615-499-5780. For Loan Pronto, 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781. Subject to lender approval, not all loans apply. Talking with Tim Hasselbeck here on 102.5 The Game, Darren Donick and Chase. So, Tim, I'm sure you know where this goes. This is just par for the course. When you're the quarterback and your team loses in the position the team was in, there's going to be all kinds of scrutiny, especially with its performance. But I guess my question boils down to this for you, because we have limited time, is does your opinion change of Ryan Tannehill based on one game? Like, the question everybody's asking is, can you win a Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill? My opinion doesn't change, even though he flopped on Saturday. Tell me what you think.
Yeah, I agree with that, because I didn't think Tom Brady played well this past weekend. And I think that, I think you can win a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo, and I think that Ryan Tannehill is a better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo. Look, did he have a great game? No, he didn't have a great game, but that happens to guys. So, I think ultimately, it's a tough one to swallow, and I'm sure for him, he hopes he gets the opportunity again. But no, it does not change whether or not I think he's good enough to get it done.
So as you look at them going forward, are you more concerned about his bounce back, or would you be much more concerned about Derrick Henry and whether he can bounce back and be the player he's been?
Yeah, I don't think I'm worried about Derrick Henry. I mean, I actually think it was kind of encouraging to see, like, hey, he played in that game. He was healthy. Now he can take his time, letting the foot heal, and do certain things to – kind of strengthen it and, I guess not be risking the potential of a setback the way that, I think that some people feared going into the playoff game. And then in terms of bouncing back for Ryan Tannehill, I think it's more about what does the offense look like around him? I mean, let's face it. I think it was in some ways, I don't say unfair, they had very few games where the offense that they wanted to have out there was out there around him. And I've said this a million times, and I know that it's true. Quarterback is still a dependent position. Like, we talk about Patrick Mahomes all we want, but they drafted some really talented offensive linemen. They've got one of the best tight ends in the game. They've got one of the fastest receivers I think that's ever played. And then, hey, like Joe Burrow, it's like, yeah, well, okay. Well, they've got a, Pro Bowl caliber back. They've got, three wide receivers that would start on most teams. Like, it's still a dependent position. And so I think having guys available is still critical for Tannehill or anybody else.
All right, I know you got to run, and we don't want to watch – on mute. So who's in the Super Bowl? Give me your picks for this weekend.
I think Kansas City wins. I think they get after Burrow, but I think they also have the ability to score. So I think Kansas City wins. And then I can't believe I'm going to do this, but I'm going to say the 49ers.
Really?
The upset.
Wow. Three times this year they're going to beat the Rams?
It's been done before.
I just feel like they have their number, man. They run the ball. The way they run the ball, they can gash you. I feel like there's a lot of pressure, a lot of buildup and a lot of pressure for the Rams, and not as much for the Niners.
Hmm. All right, if you give us a shout-out, we'll turn the volume up. But if not, we'll just keep you on mute.
All right.
Thank you, Tim. All right.
Good to talk
we'll be
to
watching. Tim Hasselbeck, brought to you every week by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. And I'm not kidding. He literally is going right to probably SportsCenter right now, because he's been all over the television today. He has. We appreciate him working us in, though. We do. 49ers, really? I don't see it. I think the Rams and the Chiefs are going to get it done. I do. But, hey, been wrong about the 49ers the entire playoffs, so I'm sure Reno will call in on Friday and pick six, and he'll double down on the 49ers like he has every week. And Elijah, has he won pick six?
He has, indeed.
I was going to say, he has to, right? he's doing double top shelves on the 49ers.
Killed it with all the all-road game selection.
Yeah. Gosh, he certainly did and almost pulled it off. The Bills almost made that happen. Wow. I don't see it, but like I said, I haven't picked him to win one playoff game yet, so I guess I shouldn't be surprised. And the minute I said, three times in a season? Yeah, well, how do you think the Titans got to the Super Bowl? They beat a team three times in a season, so it can be done. It can be done. All right, we'll come back and switch gears. We'll have our weekly chat with Chris Mason. We'll talk about this Predators team that keeps getting it done. They won now three in a row after the win last night in Seattle over the Kraken. It'll be Edmonton tomorrow night. That'll be an 8 o'clock puck drop. We'll come back with C-Mace next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.